And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vanderkoek. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
I was just thinking of that very JFK quotation.
Because we're going to talk about the Peace Corps
exactly.
This morning? Exactly. Well, you know, that's a long legacy, and we're going to take a look at how it's developed over recent years in particular.
Yeah, 55 years, yeah.
55 years.
Yikes.
And you know, in Hawaii, there are more of them than there have been in the past 4 years. And while maybe 29 might not seem a huge number to you, to the Peace Corps, the current upswing of the volunteers who live in our state are part of a national trend the program hopes will continue. In its 55-year history, as Chris mentioned, the Peace Corps has sent over 1,400 Hawaii residents to remote places to build relationships as much as livable communities. In recent years, there's also been controversy over the safety of Peace Corps volunteers. We spoke with Director Carrie Hessler-Radlett in advance of her visit to Hawaii later this week. I asked her about whether modern volunteers are still what JFK called America's best resource.
Absolutely. I think so. And in fact, that is reinforced every time I travel overseas and meet our community members who work side by side with our volunteers. When I speak to our own ambassadors, they say that Peace Corps volunteers are our best ambassadors at the community level. And they are fantastic representatives of their host nations back here in the United States.
Over 220,000 of them have come through the program from 1961 through at least last year, including you and four generations of your family, which means you have a perhaps different perspective than others who might be in your position would have. What has changed in the way that you've seen the program develop and change over the years in terms of the kind of people that were once attracted to the Peace Corps and the kind that you hope are attracted to the Peace Corps now?
Thank you. We are the only four-generation Peace Corps family. And just to be clear how that happened, my aunt was a volunteer in Turkey in the mid-60s. My grandparents served in the early 70s after they retired. They were themselves 68 years old when they went in. My husband and I served in the early 80s, and then my nephew served from 2007 to 2009 in Mozambique. So it has really been a family affair for us. But Peace Corps has evolved over the years. The world has changed, and so we needed also to be responsive to the needs of our host nations. And there are a couple of changes that I really would love to highlight. First of all is our focus on better supporting volunteers. When I was a volunteer in the early 80s, it was not uncommon for volunteers to be out and about for as much as 6 months without ever touching base with our country offices, and that is just simply not the case now. Our volunteers are very networked with their fellow volunteers, with our staff in country, and with other development partners, too. Technology has made that possible, but also the expectation that they are working as part of a larger development community, and our volunteers are actively working to help our partner nations achieve their development goals. And so they are not working alone. They are working in partnership with others, and they are highly networked. So that's one big change. The second is, as I mentioned earlier, the support to volunteers. We've been focusing extensively on safety and security and medical care for our volunteers. We want our volunteers to be absolutely certain that we're there for them when they have needs, especially safety and security and medical needs. In addition, we've really stepped up our technical training and program support so they can be effective at their job.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the safety issues and the medical issues. Last fall, we saw a report that was an internal report that said that one in five volunteers could be sexually assaulted during the time of their service. What's happened in the last 7 months to be able to stem that? And was there a final report ever issued?
You know, we monitor and evaluate our program on a regular basis, really monthly. Right now, our Office of Inspector General is conducting an evaluation of our program, so that's a very formal evaluation that will inform our progress going forward. But let me just start by saying that there's nothing more important to this agency than the health and safety of our volunteers. There's no issue that we care about more or that I personally spend more time on. And as part of our sexual assault risk response and risk reduction and response program, we have made over 30 policy changes. We have hired a new cadre of staff. I mean, we have made a fundamental change in the way we support our volunteers writ large, but especially in the area of safety and security. So we are constantly monitoring our progress to make sure that we are making adjustments as we go forward to improve the quality of our support to volunteers. We have recently trained all of our medical officers who are the primary responders through continuing medical education. That is ongoing. It happens once a year anyway, but you know, a lot of our training focuses on sexual assault response for primary responders. In the last 7 months, we've really been focusing on risk reduction, so improving the quality of our pre-service training for volunteers so that they have the tools to enable themselves to identify risks in their community, to have the language skills that they need to navigate difficult cultural issues, and to be able to respond by helping each other when they identify that there are risks of sexual assault or any kind of crime. So the whole risk reduction training has been a huge focus in the last year.
The Peace Corps was funded in the last budget. Do you have any concerns about its funding going forward?
You know, we work very closely with Congress, and we are grateful for the bipartisan support that we have from Congress. You know, I go up there very frequently, so I don't have concerns per se. We believe that we're very good value for money for the U.S. government, and so we are continuing to reinforce that message with both supporters and others, but we enjoy very good relations with Congress.
And the relevance of the Peace Corps today in terms of what projects you focus on, how is that changing in response to a world that seems to be ever more dangerous?
You know, the honest truth is that research shows that the world is a quantifiably more peaceful place now than it was even 10 years ago. So, but that's not a fact that is covered very frequently in the news, I have to say. That is not to say that the world is not a dangerous place. There are certainly risks that are evident everywhere, and there are different kinds of risks in Peace Corps countries. So, you know, that's why it's so important that we continue to monitor our programs and our training and our response so that we can provide the kind of support that our volunteers need. But I also feel that Peace Corps needs to continue to evolve as the world changes. So that means that we need to be looking at important development issues as they evolve, such as climate change, such as the youth bulge. All of these issues, which are of critical importance to our partner nations, we need to make sure that we're equipping our volunteers with the knowledge and skills that will enable them to make an effective difference at the community level.
And anything that you think that the Peace Corps once did that just no longer has relevance? I've noticed some programs drop out, but anything that you see now that you might change?
Well, you know, we've identified that our real strong niche is at the community level. Throughout our history, we have had volunteers living in urban areas, working in large cities, and while we do still have some programs where volunteers are living in and working in large cities, by and large, our sweet spot is in rural communities. We focus very strongly on building capacity, so no longer are volunteers building bridges or digging wells. We are working side by side with communities to help them build capacity to achieve their own development goals. So those are two changes that have taken place over the years.
And as you come to Hawaii, what is your concise message to folks in our part of the world?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited to be visiting Hawaii. I have three goals from my visit there. First is a recruitment goal. And particularly, we're interested in diversity recruitment. We have a huge commitment to ensuring that our volunteer force represents the beautiful diversity of our nation. And so we are really interested in making sure that Native Hawaiians and residents of Hawaii are aware of Peace Corps and understand the benefits of Peace Corps service to them and to our nation. So the recruitment part is a very big part of it. Secondly, we really are going to be thanking our university partners. We have had strong partnerships with the University of Hawaii, both in Manoa and Hilo, over the last 55 years since we have been in operation. And so it's an opportunity for us to thank our university partners. And then in addition, I want to thank our return volunteers for their continued service. We have a very active group of return volunteers, and they continue to serve their community in Hawaii and beyond.
Thank you very much for the time that you were able to spend with us this morning, and have a safe trip.
Thank you so much.
Carrie Hessler-Radlett is the 19th director of the Peace Corps. She's led historic reforms to modernize and strengthen the program, including efforts to revitalize volunteer recruitment and the application selection process that resulted in record-breaking application numbers last year. She'll be in Honolulu this Friday as part of the Peace Corps' 55th year and will speak at a free public event at the East-West Center. Details are on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.